These are the words of Dov Wolowitz on the Shibur Baruch.
My name is Dov Wolowitz. I came to Lakewood when I was 18 years old. I came from Yeshiva Heichal HaTorah, the Rabbi's London's yeshiva. I came with two other Talmidim, friends of mine, Chavruses, Menachem Rosenthal and Chaim Bresler. I was awe-inspired. We were probably the three best Talmidim in Heichal HaTorah. And when I came out to Lakewood, I was awe-inspired by the yeshiva. You had maybe 100 Talmidim there, 50 of which were Jungalite, Kotel guys, and about 50 which were Bachrim. And it was awe-inspiring to see the hasmada and to see the brilliance of these Talmidim. I remember many stories from Rabaran. I think the biggest thing and most inspiring thing that I felt when I was in Lakewood was to be able to sit in the presence of the Gadol HaDor, knowing that he was a giant, that this man was so above and so full of Torah. I remember he came to Lakewood. He lived in Borough Park, and he came out to Lakewood Thursday afternoon and left Monday afternoon. He said his shiur on Shabbos, and he said his shiur on Monday before he left. And I remember when you felt about 11, 12 o'clock that the Rosh Hashiva was in Lakewood, there was a certain feeling in the air, and it wasn't only I who felt it, that the Gadol HaDor is in town. There was a feeling that I have never felt before, something awe-inspiring, that you can't bottle, you can't talk like there's the Gadol HaDor is here. And he's in town, and he's around, and you felt that greatness and that holiness. And even I remember Monday afternoon when he would leave, there would be a sense of relief, a sense of calm, a sense of that feeling was not there. And it wasn't a feeling of fear, like the Rosh Hashiva is going to bother you, going to talk to you, going to ask you anything. It was just a sense of awe, a sense of you've got to learn. Like there's no batola. Like this is the most holiest place that there is. And that feeling, it's hard to give over that message, but that feeling I have never felt before. And I thought it was maybe something that only I felt. But as I shared this with other people in the Beis Medrash, there were many, many who felt that feeling, like the Gadol HaDor is in town. Put you on hold for a second.
There are many things that go through my mind as I think of the great Rosh Hashiva. There are many different stories that I was privileged to be there and be involved in, and I'd like to share some with you. I remember once I was very involved in Kiruv, and I was involved with the Rabbis London, and we had a camp in which we took in Talmud Torah boys, boys who were not religious, and we tried over the summer to make them religious, play basketball, baseball, learn with them, and convinced them to go to yeshiva. Well, I was there, and I went after the Zman, and I was one of the main forces in the camp to deal with these young boys. They were 13, 14-year-olds, and we were making them frum. And then it came the El Zman, and I had to go back to Lakewood. And I remember El at that point was somewhere around August 20th, August 22nd, around there, right before camp ended. And it was maybe 5 or 6 days before camp ended. And I remember Rabbis London came over to me. I said, I have to go. said, how can you leave before camp is over? It says, this is Hatzolos Nefoshes. We have an opportunity to make these, your key force, you have an opportunity before camp ends to work with these kids and make them from you. You've got to stay on. So he convinced me it's Hatzolos Nefoshes, and I guess the 5 days would not would not hinder, you know, it would be more important I should skip the first five days of the Zman and try and get the, and I thought he was right, and I stood, and I remember going to Lakewood 4 or 5 days after the Zman started, and I was a little concerned that the Rashiva would see me, would, you know, that they would get a hold of me, and as I walked in, as I was in the, came into the Beis Medrash, I passed right by the Rosh Hashiva, and the Rosh Hashiva says, calls me, says, come into my office. And he called me in the office, and he says, where were you? He says, this man, you're here 4 days late. And he knew right away, and I started explaining to him. I had the best excuse in the world. I wasn't in a bungalow colony. I wasn't fooling around. I wasn't on vacation. It was Hatzolos Nefoshes. And I went through, and I told him about the London's camp, which he knew of, and how important it was that I stay there in the London's. Told me to stay there, and the Rashiva didn't want to hear anything. He says, he started showing me a Rashi, which to this day, I don't know what he showed me. He showed me a Tesis. He has Zman, Zazman, and he didn't want to know from anything. He wanted to know Torah, Torah, Torah. You have a Zman, this is what it is. And he gave me a whole schmooze for about 20 minutes, and I was a little flabbergasted, not really understanding, but acknowledging that the Gadol HaDor was telling me that Torah at this point was more important than anything. That was one experience I had with the Rosh Hashiva. Another experience that I would like to share with the Olam, that people who had driver's licenses would take the Rosh Hashiva around one day during the Zman. To drive the Rosh Hashiva. And I had an opportunity. I was maybe 18 or 19 years old, and I drove the Rosh Hashiva, and I remember it was a big Rosh Hashiva's meeting. All the Rosh Hashivas were meeting. I don't recall exactly what it was, but I think it was about Gias Noshim, but I'm not sure, in taking women into the army in Israel. And I remember they had a meeting. It started early in the morning, and all the big Rosh Hashivas were there. Rav Reuven Grozovsky, Rav Avram Yafin, Rabbi Kamenetsky, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Hutner, all of them were there. And as the meeting started in the morning and it progressed, and all day I was hanging around the drive to Rosh Hashiva, so I was listening. And as it came late in the day, one of the Rosh Hashivas gave a clap and said, Rabbi Isai, we have to stop in Daven Mincha. It's Mincha time. And I remember Rav Hutner gave a clap on the beam on the table, and he said, Nein! He says, Ha'isik b'mitzvah is potem in ha'mitzvah. He said, we started early in the morning, we must finish. He says, there's no hafsoka for mincha. We got to go on. And all the reshivas stopped, and they listened, and they said, you know, sounds like Rav Hutner is right. I mean, Isik b'mitzvah is potem in ha'mitzvah there. Isik in ha'mitzvah. And they all looked at the big Rosh Hashiva, Rav Aaron. He was the last word. And everybody looked at him, nope, like Vozok the Rosh Hashiva. And he thought for a minute, he stopped, and he said, he smiled, and he said, Yizen Kerecht, he told Rav Hutner. He says, you're right, Al Pidin. He says, really, we don't shouldn't stop. But he says, but what are the Balabatim going to say if they hear the Rosh Hashivas didn't daven Menecha? So he says with a smile, and he says, Rabbi say we got to stop in daven. He says, they'll never understand at that time. So we stopped in daven Menecha. Rav Aaron was the last word with all the Rosh Hashivas. He was like, it was like some sort of a hierarchy, and he was the last word with them. Whatever he said went. He was a fire. I remember a small, he must have been 5'1" or 5'2", and he was a fire. You looked in his eyes and you saw he was just Moli Vagodish. There's nothing could stop him. And I remember being in his house after the meeting, taking care in Borough Park. And I remember he immediately opened up a sefer, immediately had the Gemara open, he's sitting and learning. Phone rings, I picked up the phone to answer it. And it was Eretz Yisrael, I think it was Chinuch Atzmoy. They had a big problem, they had to talk to the big Rosh Hashiva. He gets on the phone, and he's paskening Shailas Das Torah.
in Eretz Yisrael. After he's finished, he hangs up the phone, immediately back to the Gemara. Like it was such a koyach to be able to diverse yourself when you have such, you know, world problems, not to stop to think. It was immediately finished that inyan, he's back in learning. There was no batola, no talking, no wasting of time. You saw in the Rosh Yeshiva, even though there was Torah in other yeshivas, even though America had Torah, but the Torah of Rav Aaron, this godless, this of this amount of Torah, like there's nothing else, like it's Varfta Vek Yedisur, there's nothing Torah, the idea of the highest form of Torah, this is what Rav Aaron brought to America. This highest form of sitting and learning, L'shem, sitting and learning, and nothing else mattered. And this is what he put and planted in America. Had some of Rav Aaron's Talmidim were so big, there were stories told. I remember I was, I don't know if this is a nice story, I looked at it like a giant. When Rav Aaron said his shiurim, I remember we used to, me and my chavrusa, used to harava. You had to put up Maram Makomos and you had to study them all over Shas in order to be able to hear his shiur. And when he said his shiur, it was to chazar over the shiur, to understand the shiur, it was mind-boggling how big a shiur he said. And I remember once in the middle of a shiur, when he said his Torah, it was like fire. And somebody, one of his best Talmidim, I remember it was Rav Moshe Eisman, Olivar Shalom from Vineland, got up, he's a Yekka, and he got up and he says, Abba Rosh Hashiva, he said, Dosa Nitpshat, he was Miyashiv Ashrem Bach, and he got up and said, Rosh Hashiva, Dosa Nitpshat in the Bach. And the Yeshiva looked at him and he started to scream at him and he says, the face is Vosteretz, you don't know what you're talking about. He says, you don't understand, you don't know. And he told him over Pshat again, and Moshe Eisen put his head down, it was Makabel, then raised his head up and said, Ober Rosh Yeshiva, there's a fortnit Pshat in the Bach. And the Yeshiva, this went on back and forth. And finally, Rav Aaron said to him, Du bist nicht kein Yid, du bist a Turk, a Shikker. He says, the Weissen Fusteretz, he says, Es nicht kann jeder, heben wir auf dem Reusen Beis Medrisch. He was so full of fire over his Torah, they had to escort Rav Moshe Eisman out of the Beis Medrish. I mean, and he took him about 10 minutes to compose himself. We thought maybe he would have, God forbid, an attack. That's how red he was as a beet. And to catch his breath after this incident, it took him about 3 or 4 minutes to compose himself. He finished his shiur. And of course, after the shiur, he called in Rav Moshe Eisman into his room. He was calm, and he called him in. He says, "Entschuldig me." He says, "You know, ich bin nicht gemeint." He says, "You know, when I say Torah, I mean, there's nothing that's more important than." And he says, Moshe Eisman said to him, "It's all right, but there's a fortnight pshat in the Bach." And they carried on again, and they were, you know, at each other again. But this was what Torah is. Some people I've told this story to, and they don't exactly appreciate that Rav Aaron but I looked at it and saw that Rav Aaron was fire. When it came to Torah, there was nothing. When somebody said something that he felt was a shtuyot, or was there was nothing to stop him from it was detrimental. It was terrible. It was the worst thing in the world. And not many people can appreciate this, but I saw it, I appreciated it.